Amen. Well, the first thing I want you to do is look at the person next to you and say these words. Will you partner with me not to go to sleep tonight? Okay? Will you partner with me that I won't fall asleep? All right. Well, let me tell you, for the last 25 years, I have not had a pastor because I've been my pastor, I guess. But for the last 10 months, I've had the privilege to get a pastor. And I love my pastor. He's only been 10 months. But Pastor Paul Chappell has been my pastor. And tonight, my pastor's hurting. My pastor's grieving. And I want to encourage you to pray for Pastor Chappell, if you would, tonight. I know that he is a man that keeps his responsibilities. And I know that he's a man that would love... Everything about this conference is what Pastor Chappell is. First of all, I don't know of anyone that tries and harder of partnering together with others and bringing people together like Pastor Chappell. And so I know he'd love that. I know his heart is for missions, and I know that he loves the Pattersons and he loves Mount of Byron. He would be here tonight, but he does feel tonight that his responsibilities with his home church and the needs that are there right now in a grieving church is more important. So I am sorry. You have a weak substitute and representative, but I will tell you, I know that Pastor Chappell gives his greetings tonight, and he would love to be here tonight as well. And for all the missionaries that are here tonight, if you come by the table right afterwards, there's a special gift that Pastor wants to give to each one of you, and I'll be thrilled to be able to hand that out as well. When I was just at this church a couple months ago, and I really can honestly say, Pastor, I prayed this when I left. I said, Lord, I hope I get a chance to come back to Worth Baptist Church someday. Never did I realize it would be just in about 2 months. So I am really thrilled to be back with the church. I know there's a lot of guests here tonight as well. But let me just tell you, Worth Baptist Church, that I have been telling everybody about the love and the spirit and your pastor as well. And I really believe that the 4 days I was here, I really got a new friend. And I really, really thank the Lord for that and just have good memories. All right, take your Bibles and turn to a passage of Scripture. One verse to start us off in Psalm 34. Well, when I found out 2 days ago that I was coming to preach, I called Billy up and asked Billy what's kind of the theme of the conference or whatever. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, the one disappointing factor of this whole thing about me coming was I have come to this conference 3 other times over the last years, and it's always been in Mexico. And to miss the 7-hour bus ride to Tlalpa is a real heartbreak for me. So tomorrow, Billy's taking me on a 7-hour trip in the desert of Texas tomorrow just to get that feel of that bus ride again. But we really have. We've been able to come to minister and to enjoy that. And I encourage you to take the trip to Tlalpa. I wonder how many here have ever been there before. Would you raise your hand if you've ever been there before? Okay. All of you others, let me encourage you to really consider the trip. It was just a thrill to see what the Lord is doing in and through that ministry. Well, I called Billy up and I said, well, Billy, what's the conference about? And he very quickly and very energetically said it is partnering to proclaim the truth. And boy, then he just jumped on the theme and talked about how excited he was about it and everything. And I thought, well, it looks like I'm going to be preaching on partnering before, and I've never have preached a message on it, but it looked like just after Billy was done, that's what I need to preach on. So I asked the Lord for a verse, and I got to tell you, what a great verse with this theme. Psalm 34 and verse number 3. I'll read it once, and would you read it out loud together with me then? Let me read it first, and we'll read it out loud together. Psalm 34 and verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Would you say that verse with me together? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to talk to you tonight about partnership. And we're going to have a word of prayer. And then I want to share with you 3 things that I think are so important about partnership. A couple things I want to do just before we pray. I would like to have every teenager in here to stand up. If you're a teenager, would you stand up right now? If you're a teenager, yeah, amen, brother, nice try. All right, remain standing for just a minute, teenagers. If you are a senior saint, would you stand up? That's 55 or older, by the way. If you're 55, now you can stand up, buddy, yeah. Whoa, look at that. Now, I just want you to see who's standing right now. Normally, you would never put these two groups together. You have the teenagers standing in this room right now, and you have the senior saints standing in this room as well. I'll tell you this, give me the church, give me the ministry, and give us the movement of Christ that you can put teens and senior saints partnering together. You know, our common bond is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't our age, it isn't our gender, our common bond is the Lord. We need to all pull together and partner together. I'm going to give you three great things about partnering together. Most of us are standing. Why don't the rest of us stand? We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. As you're coming up and standing, let me say one other thing. When I was here, besides the great privilege of being at Worth Baptist Church, I experienced something that was unbelievable. I did get to go see Brother Barber in the hospital. He was in the hospital then, and it is the first time I've ever seen a man in pajamas have a tie on. No. Brother Weaver asked me if I wanted to go see Brother Barber in the hospital, and I said, absolutely. I want to see what he looks like in a hospital bed. And he did not look good, but he did have the scarf in his pajamas, okay? And he looked pretty sharp. He really did. It is so good to see the barbers here tonight. And that is of God's. And it was the last time I was behind this pulpit, we prayed for you. And to see you in here right now, Brother Barber, that really is. Praise God. Father, we do thank you for all things. Lord, I do take just a moment and thank you that Brother Barber is in this auditorium right now. That's what this church prayed for. That's what we lifted up. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Father, we also tonight just take a moment, and I do pray for Lancaster Baptist Church. Lord, I don't desire the attention to be on that, but Lord, I do pray for my pastor. And I know, Lord, that he desires to comfort, and I know, Lord, that, Father, that he has such a burden for this mission agency and, Lord, this ministry. But, Lord, I do pray you'd be with Pastor tonight, and I pray you'd encourage him. Now, Lord, as there has been a great transition this week in leadership of this ministry, Father, I pray that tonight there would be those in this room that would decide to partner with a new president and an established ministry. I pray tonight, Father, that there would be people, if they go to Worth Baptist Church or whatever church they go to, that they would make decisions to partner with one another for the cause of Christ in their community. For every pastor that's here and every missionary that's here, I pray and ask tonight, Lord, that in Jesus' name we would understand, as already been given to us from the book of Philemon, and I'm sure all week long, the concept, the ideas, the importance, and the how-to, as we heard from Brother Kingsbury, in the developing of partners. Father, I pray you'd speak to our heart tonight, and may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be partners of the word, working together. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I thought about partnership this past week, well, there's a lot of partners in the Bible. And I wrote down some of them. You've got Moses and Joshua. You have Jonathan and his arm bearer. You have Nehemiah and Ezra. You have Esther and Mordecai. You have Aquila and Priscilla. You have David and Goliath. Oh, no, not that one. They're not partners. You have Paul and Silas. You have Paul and Timothy. There are great partners that are found in the Bible. However, as I really was thinking, okay, what's the concept of partnership? What do I want to talk about in partnership and ministry? And I have to tell you, and I really mean this honestly, the best partnership that I know of is Jim and Marilee Shetler. And I really mean that honestly. I think, as I looked at this message, I thought, what does it mean to partner together to proclaim the truth? Now, I read to you Psalm 34:3. That was our marriage verse. That was the reason why Marilee and I got married. Oh, magnify the Lord together and let us exalt His name together. That's why Marilee and I got married. And I thought about this. There have been three things that Marilee and our marriage, and my marriage to Marilee, has produced in partners. Because we look at ourselves as partners in ministry. And these three things, I just thought of these yesterday. The three things that have come out of our marriage is what we need to have in our partnership in our churches. Partnership prevents failure. Let me tell you, my wife is the biggest reason why I haven't failed in the ministry. And I mean that. She's been my partner. Prevents failure, produces fruit, and promotes fellowship. That's what partnership does. It prevents failure, it produces fruit, and it promotes fellowship. And I want to tell you, that's what we've got to understand in a church ministry, in missions work, what partnership does. So I want to encourage you with this tonight. I was speaking at a camp one time, and it was the last day of the week of camp, and God had really blessed in the services, but the two teams, they'd broken up the teams, we'll call them blue and red. I remember their colors, I don't remember their names of the teams, and they had guys and girls. And the guys' blue team just got killed all week long, and it came down to the final thing, kind of the bragging rights of the whole week. They do a big tug of war. And there's a lot of kids at this camp. There was probably 500-600 kids. So they did the 9th through 12th grade tug of war. And they must have had, I'm telling you, they must have had 120 boys, young men, on both sides of the big rope that they had. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, the blue team has just lost everything. Give them a chance to win the tug of war, you know? Little did I realize that I was going to be a part of my own prayer request in just a minute. So they started the tug of war, and I'm thinking, you know, the red had all the athletes all week long, though the blue had some pretty big guys, but all the athletes were on the red team, whatever. They started the tug of war, and as soon as they had a little, you know, handkerchief hanging down the middle, you know, and they had where they had to pull it to and everything, and woo, they said go. Wow, that rope tightened, and that handkerchief just shook and stood right in place. And I went, whoa, this is going to be a good one. Well, about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, that's a long time in the tug of war. 30, 45 seconds, that handkerchief hasn't budged at all. And man, I'm going, man, I want to preach to the red team, but I'm going, come on, blue team, come on. And the camp director came over to me and he said, jump on the rope at the end and pull for the blue team. I'm thinking, I don't think I'm going to make a difference, man. He said, you'll make the whole difference. I said, I got to this. There's 120 guys on each side. Go to the blue team. Well, I went, got on the rope on the end of the blue team, and I started to pull. And do you know, nothing happened. No. Do you know that when I started to pull, just one little body left, it made the entire difference. That here they were absolutely, if nothing was happening. And then I got on the end, and I pulled it over. Well, I thought, boy, am I something or what? The camp director said, I could have put a 7th grade girl on it, and it would have made the difference. When it is that even, it just takes one more pull. Hey, can I tell you this? There are ministries right now that need some of you just to be that one more pullover. Just to grab a hold and just be that last one and just, yeah! That's what we needed. Your prayers for that ministry. Your one gift. My one gift's like $10 a month. That may be the gift that does it. That may be the prayer that does it. I want to talk to you about this partnership because I think it is so important. There's three things. Number one, partnership prevents failure. It prevents failure. Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I think there's going to be four passages we're going to look at, and I want you to turn to every one because they are so good about partnership. Partnership prevents failure. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says this. Now, you know what? You do hear this a lot at weddings. I've used this passage at weddings, but it's not really in its context a marriage passage. It is a ministry passage in partnering together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. If you're married tonight, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You better. Or you're going to go home by yourself. Okay, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone. He's going to fail. If you're going out there in the ministry by yourself, you're going to fail. You've got to have partners. You've got to have partners with you. You've got to have partners back in the States. You've got to have partners for you. You've got to have prayer partners. You've got to have support partners. He's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You ever think, wait a second. We got two, and the verse ends with three. What's the third one in there? Well, here's what I believe. I believe that when you partner with somebody else, I think the Lord comes along and he pulls with that. Because I think that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want you to be the lone ranger out there. He wants a partner, and he will be the third full cord. When you got two pulling, that other one's coming along. And that's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. Man, I got to tell you, you will. It'll prevent you from failure. Now, there is a legend that has said it's Jewish tradition. It's not the Bible. It's Jewish tradition that on Jacob's deathbed, he called his 12 sons, and he brought them in, and he gave each of his 12 sons a stick. And he told them, by yourself, if you do not stay together as a family, by yourself, you can be broken. But then he collected the 12 sticks together, but he says, together, it cannot be broken. Well, Brother Billy left, Steve. He's out there interpreting somewhere. So you got to come here for a second. Put your Bible down. I need your help for something. Grab it on this side. Do you believe you can break that stick? Okay. All right. Let's see it, man. Let's see you break the stick. Go ahead. Use your hand. You can use your leg. Go ahead. Whoa. Wow. You know what, Brother Steve? If I start giving you the way you broke that one, if I start giving you one at a time, I know you're going to break. But you know, Brother Steve, do you think you can break all of those together? And the answer is no. Okay. I was a little safer with Billy, I think. I was just thinking, if you do your head, I'm in trouble, okay? You know what, Steve? Mount Abiram by itself can be broken. But I will tell you this. With partners, you cannot be broken. And that's why you need partners. And that's why every one of us, you know what? You say, well, you know, I don't know about this church thing or whatever like that. I'll just do my own soul winning. You know what? You need a church. You need it corporately. Because corporately, Satan can't break it. By yourself, you can be broken. I want you to remember that. All right? And that's what, you think about the transition that's just been made. Thank you, Steve. You think about the transition that's just been made. Outside of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Billy Patterson doesn't need anything else more than he needs partners. If Billy's going to be out there by himself, he's going to be broken. But if you come alongside Mount Abiram, and even in your, whatever it is, as a youth group, if you're out there by yourself trying to live for the Lord, it doesn't work. But if you together are unified, you will prevent yourself from failure. It's interesting tonight, Billy said that I went out soul winning with him, and I don't remember that, and I've taken a lot of people out soul winning, but I will tell you, the majority of my soul winning has actually been done by myself. I've gone out and made a lot of visits by myself and everything. And when I was in Santa Maria, every Saturday, I'd go out at the beginning of the morning all day long. I'd make visits to people who came. I'd go door to door by myself or whatever. And when I got down to Lancaster Baptist Church, Pastor Chappell said, no, we don't go soul winning by ourselves. I said, no, it's kind of like my time alone with the Lord. I think about my message, and I just go walking in the neighborhood, and it's just, Pastor Chappell says, no. You take a soul winning partner with you for a couple reasons. One, you need to disciple them. You need to help them. Number two, you need to be protected, and you need to have that other partner. It has been amazing the joy it's been going out with another soul-winning partner. I really haven't been doing that much of that in the last 6-7 years. I go out soul-winning every week, but it was by myself. And now I got members of my Sunday school class I take out. My wife and I have been going out door-to-door. And you know what? That has been so good. I want to tell you something. Partnership prevents failure. It will make you strong. Number two, and as we turn to number two, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Brother Kingsbury mentioned this passage of Scripture, and what a great passage on partnership tonight. Partnership, number one, prevents failure. So you got to be involved with partnership. Number two, partnership produces fruit. Now, in Luke chapter 5, we have the story of the calling of Peter and his brother, and they're going to become fishers of men. And it says in verse number 5, "And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their," everyone in this room, what's the next word? "Unto their" what? "Partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." They couldn't do the work. Now I'm going to tell you, I absolutely loved our brother tonight that gave the testimony. But I will tell you this, he needs help. He needs help. Yeah, well, bless God. Well, maybe there will be some Mexicans called. Well, good. Amen. There should be. We need to pray for that. But I will also tell you this, my brother. I will tell you this, sister. That man, you need to get his name, and you need to get a picture of him on your refrigerator, and you need to pray for him. And you need, he needs, to, he's beckoning. I will tell you, Billy this year, Steve this year, they need some people that will strive together with them. They need some people that will hold up them in prayer. And if you have ever given to this ministry, this year you need to give to this ministry. This is when they need the partners. They need, hey, would someone come over and help us get the fish? This is where the fruit is. When you partner together with someone, that's when the fruit can start coming. Look at what they did here. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships." There was fruit. Look with me now at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing a thank you letter. And I think it was a little longer than yours, Brother Kingsbury. But you know what, by the way, I was just thinking, Brother Kingsbury, I'm sending you next year for Christmas a $2 McDonald's gift certificate. Your thank you card and your postage will cost more than what I gave you, man. Amen. I want to see if I get a letter from him, man. I want to see if I get a letter from him. Philippians chapter 4, he's finishing a thank you card. There's a lot of reasons for the book of Philippians. A lot of people always call it the book of joy. It's the book of Jesus. Let me tell you this. The theme of the book of Philippians is not joy. The theme of the book of Philippians is Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. But it's also a thank you letter. And he does thank them for them communicating and being partners with him. Look, if you would, with me in verse 14. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction." You know what that means? That you became partners with me. Verse 15. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, partnered with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." You're the only partners that I had financially. You were the only ones that helped me. "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Hey, not because I desire a gift. No. guys, you don't have to send me. It isn't that I desire a gift. Oh, I needed money. No, I've learned no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content. But look at what? Not because I desire a gift, but I desire, everyone together, what's the next word? Fruit. That it may abound to your account. Now, this is the coolest thing. First of all, if you take a teen's missions trip, I don't know if Brother Tyler does that here. I don't know if your church does that or whatever. I think it's one of the best things you'll ever do is take teenagers on a missions trip. And you get them there. And some of you, we had you stand earlier, some of you mature saints that are in here. You know what? If I'm going to give a dollar anywhere to missions, I love to give dollars to teens going on missions trips because I love twofers. I love a win-win. You're giving the dollar for them to do a work of ministry on the mission field, and you're investing in that young person's life. And you know what? You start becoming partners together. All of a sudden, the teens go, hey, that's Sister So-and-so that invested in me at camp, at going to mission, and now you become partners. And there's fruit from that partnership. Look at what he says here. He says, listen, I'm sending you a thank you card. I do thank you for the money. I thank you for the gifts that you sent me. But listen to what I'm really thankful for, is that it was going to be fruit on your account. What partnership does is it produces fruit. When you join together with others, there is a fruit bearing that you come together on. Look what he continues, verse 18. But I have all and I abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. It's an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I do want to say this. As you partner with somebody, and as you give to missions, and as you give to people, you are ultimately giving to the Lord. You aren't really giving to Mount Abiram. You're not really giving to Tilapa Orphanage. You're not really giving. You're really giving to the Lord. The gift is to Him, but as you give it to an individual, then you partner alongside, and that's the fruit. Your prayers are going to produce fruit. Your giving is going to produce fruit. As you come alongside someone and you partner with them, they can do the work, and that's where the fruit is produced. Pastor Chapel has a statement. I think that I've heard it now 642 times, okay? And that statement is this. Teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream work. And I tell you, we hear it all. A week does not go by that somebody on staff, Pastor Chapel, somebody doesn't. I'd never heard that statement before I got to West Coast. But I will tell you something. Teamwork makes the dream work. And when you partner alongside somebody and you work as a team together, it makes the dream work. That's where the fruit is going to be produced. Also, Brother Kingsbury tonight quoted from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I love what Paul did. He says, some plant, some water, God gives the increase. I want to tell you this. How many of you in this room have ever led somebody to Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand? You have ever led somebody to Jesus Christ. Great. Can I tell you this? In that situation, you were the fruit picker. But I guarantee you, there were partners before you that invested in that person. I have never led anyone to the Lord that there weren't partners. Some of the times I don't know who the partners were. I have no idea who they were. But there was water and seed before I picked. And by the way, how many of you have ever heard about somebody that got saved that you had the opportunity to water or to plant? You're part of that fruit. You know what partnering does? Partnering prevents failure. And it produces fruit. One last thing and we're done. It also, partnership promotes fellowship. It promotes fellowship. Now, I was trying to think, okay, usually you do a message like this, and I don't usually do topical messages, but I'm thinking, okay, you got to kind of go with importance now. You know, you got to kind of go, what's important? I did partnership prevents failure. That's very important, but I'm going to put that first. Then I had a big problem. Partnership produces fruit. Man, that's a really big deal. That's really what it's all about. But I said, no, I'm going to end with partnership promotes fellowship. Because I think in the Lord's eyes, I think this is why the Lord wants us to join together. I was, you say, Brother Sean, you put a lot of stuff in your suitcase. I sure did. I was, I took a group of 16 individuals up to Saskatchewan, Canada, and we built a church. Now, it was the physical building on an Indian reservation in 1 week. We had the opportunities to minister. We had a great service at the end of the week in this new church. When we got there, there were footings and there was the foundation. And in 7 days, we had the vinyl lining up, we had the roof, we had the shingles, we had the studs, we had the drywall, we had everything. We did not have carpeting in. We did have pews that we were able to just set in there. We built a platform 7 days. Now, we went in June, so it was light until like 11 o'clock at night. I mean, it was like broad daylight. And so we were working 14, 16 hours. I've been on 28 missions trips in my life. I don't think I ever enjoyed a missions trip more than the missions trip that we spent. We were working 14 to 16 hours a day. We'd come home, we'd come back to our little places where we were, and we went to sleep. We'd wake up the next morning, and we'd go at it. The Saturday morning that we left, Mark Eaton and I, Mark was kind of the building contractor for the whole thing. He said, Pastor, let's go back out to the site and just walk around it and pray. And I said, that'd be great. So Mark and I drove on out there. We walked around this church that we saw built. The previous night, we had this incredible service with these Indians that came. Some of them were saved that night. It was just like, wow, we did this all. Oh, man, was this exciting. And I walked around the building. And I started to pick up all the different kinds of fasteners that we used. And I picked up every kind of nail, screw, fastener that we had used that entire week at that site. And I took and Mark said, Pastor, what you doing? I said, don't worry about it. And I came home, got a little piece of wood, and it's been in here for about 12 years, and I put the nails, and I lost one nail somewhere along the line, but I put in all the different nails and all the different fasteners that we used that week. And I gave a presentation to our church when we got back. And I said, you know, the experience I just had this past week was one of the greatest experiences ever. And I'll tell you why. Because for the glory of God, by the grace of God, we partnered together as 16 individuals and we became one. And we each did our own job. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not much of a builder. I can lift things. I brought a lot of shingles up to the roof, okay? I got a good strong back. But I'm not too good at nailing stuff down. But we did, every one of us. We had a lady that was the best cook I've ever had. Of course, we were starving every meal. But her job was cooking. And that's all she did. She'd go to the store and she'd get the food and we would eat. That was her whole job, was just cooking. And then there was someone that was really good in putting together the vinyl siding. And then there was someone that was a shingler. And then there was some. And then Mark was over the whole thing. And there were ladies that did certain things. And we all had our own ministries, but we partnered together, and we were all doing. So here's the thing about partnering together. Partnering together doesn't mean we all become the same. Partnering together means you take the spiritual gift God's given you, you take the resources God's given you, and you use that for the Lord. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be this. You could be this. But let me tell you, this did as much as important a job as this one did. When partnering together doesn't mean, okay, if I partner with this guy, I got to become like him. No. You have different gifts. I go back to the marriage of Jim and Mary Lee. I think Jim and Mary Lee make a great partnership. You know why? We're really different. I mean, we don't have the same personalities. We don't have the same spiritual gifts. We don't have... Now, sometimes those things, we butted heads because of that. Sometimes I'm trying to get Mary Lee to be like this, and Mary Lee's like this. And sometimes I learn some things, you know? And I'm sure she struggled with different things, but you know what? The reason why Mary Lee and I have been such a great partnership is our personalities are so different. Our goals, our vision are the same. Our foundation is the same. Our Savior is the same. but we're very different. Now, what does it mean to partner? First of all, Worth Baptist Church, to you all, you need to find where you belong. That's what you need to do first of all. You need to find where you belong, and you need to get in that place. For you that are pastors here tonight, I will tell you this, there is no greater joy in the ministry than putting people where they belong. It is such a joy to see people doing like that's what God created them to do. That's the gift. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And I will tell you, there is such a joy in that. There is a fellowship that comes from partnering together in the work of the ministry that is just, you cannot speak it. And when you help, you work with somebody else to lead an individual to the Lord, there is a bond there that will always, there is a fellowship that comes from partnering together. I want to encourage you to partner together in ministry. When I went to Santa Maria at First Baptist Church, and I love that church, and I praise God for the time we had, but when we arrived, it was a very bitter, a very divided, a very territorial church. It was a church that the Christian school was the tail wagging the dog. It was a church that was just, it was very bitter. And we did a thing, and after being there for 3 years, we did an activity, we did a ministry called Alive Nativity. We had 26 of the most beautiful acres you'll find anywhere, and we put on that 26 acres a live nativity drive-through. People would get a CD, hear the entire gospel presentation, and we had different venues that they would have, and they would drive through, and they would hear the entire gospel presentation. In the 3 years that we did the live nativity, we had over 14,000 people come through. We saw people get saved, people join our church, but let me tell you, I can't say anything about people getting saved, but I will tell you, the biggest thing that I saw as a pastor that it did, it brought our church together. It put teenagers and senior saints together in Bethlehem. It put little children and people that they, and we all worked together. And we partnered together for the cause of Christ. And I will tell you, the spirit in that church changed. When we came, we had a bunch of new people in the church that had joined the church and gotten saved that didn't know the people that had been in the church for years. The live nativity mixed it all up together. And when we were done with the live nativity after the first year, there was a partnership and there was a fellowship and there was a sweetness in that church that they had not experienced in years. There is something about partnering together to proclaim the truth of God's word. There is a fellowship that it brings, there is a fruit that it produces, and there is a failure that it will prevent. And I want to encourage you, be a partner. And I loved what Brother Kingsbury said, and I had not thought that until I was right there. What is the Greek word for comforter? Paraclete. It means to come alongside. I beseech you, brethren, I come alongside of you. Our Christian life is not that the Holy Spirit just, okay, just surrender your life to me and I'll do everything. I'll move your arms, I'll open your mouth. That is not what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants control, but the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you tomorrow. The Holy Spirit wants to be your partner tomorrow. He wants you to speak. He wants you to get your wallet out. He wants you to pray. He'll help you. He'll partner alongside of you. He isn't going to do it, though. It isn't when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you're like some zombie, and you're just some vessel that he fills, and you don't do anything. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you so the fellowship that he can have. And friend, I encourage you, get a partner for soul winning. Get a partner for prayer. Get a partner that you can give to in a ministry that you can give to, that you can say, man, that's what I want to be a partner of. I tell you, the concept of partnering, really, the last 3 days, 2.5 days that I've been studying, I went like, wow. And even tonight, as I heard Brother Kingsbury, it's just like, wow, there is a biblical doctrine of partnering together. Are you in it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you are not partnering right now in world evangelism, I encourage you to come down to an old-fashioned altar, kneel down and say, "Dear God, I want to be a partner." Now, maybe you're a 16-year-old girl here, and you say, "I don't have much money to give." Well, I want to say this, teenager. You may not have much to give, but it doesn't take much to make the difference on the pool with the tug of war. It may be your little $5 a month gift that may make the difference for some missionary somewhere. But you know what? It's not just about the money. It's also about giving of time. It's about investing and developing partners, as Brother Kingsbury said. It's about tonight saying, "Lord, I don't think I've ever understood the partnership of the Holy Spirit. I don't think I've ever understood how important partnering is. It's going to be where the fruits produce. It's going to prevent from failure in my life. I need two or better than one. I need a partner." I want to encourage you right now. And by the way, maybe there's some married couples in here that your partnership hasn't been real good. Well, you know what? You're not going to produce fruit for the glory of God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. There may be some married couples that need to come down to the altar and say, "You know what? We haven't been partners like we ought to be. We need to be together on these things. We can be different, but we need to respect and love the differences and realize that God put us together to make a great partnership." Man, give me a church of diversity. Give me missions of diversity. That causes us to be better and more equipped partners. God has spoken to your heart tonight about an area. You haven't gone out soul winning by yourself or with anybody. And you say, "You know what? We're at this missions conference and I haven't been the soul winner that I should be." Well, let me encourage you. Ask the Lord to give you a partner to go out. Ask the Lord to give you a ministry that you can partner with. And I am telling you, Billy and Steve need some folks to partner alongside of them. I'm going to ask even for Steve to go on. Steve, if you'd go down the front right down here, and I know Billy's in there interpreting, but maybe some of you just like to come by and shake Steve's hand and say, "You know what? I'm going to be partnering with you. I mean business. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give." Well, it'd be a thrill if a 14-year-old boy came up to Steve and said, "You know, I don't know what I can give, but I want to be a partner with Mount Abiram. I'm only 14, I don't have much to give, but whatever you can use me, I want to partner with this ministry. I want to be a part of this ministry for fruit, for fellowship, and to prevent me from failing. I want to be a partner." God spoke to your heart tonight. When you hear that piano begin to play, and the partnership has gotten a hold of your heart like it's gotten a hold of mine in the last couple days, let me encourage you. You've been hearing message after message. God spoke to your heart about being a partner tonight. There's something that you can do. You find your spot. God spoke to you. You come and tell God, "I mean it tonight." Let's stand to our feet as the piano begins to play. You come.
You've heard the message, and I know God's spoken to our hearts.